Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up.
You know what I've been thinking about?
What, girl?
I have been thinking about how every time I drive around, I see these signs on these buildings that say Signature Associates.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm like, okay, what the heck is that? Yeah. You know, like every building everywhere has got a Signature Associates sign.
Yeah, if you're in Toledo, you've heard of it.
You've absolutely heard of it. And who better to tell us about what the heck Signature Associates is up to than one of its incredible employees, Zach Lieberer. Hi, Zach.
Hey, Riley. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Hi, Zach. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming.
Yeah.
So we want to get into all of your amazing work at Signature, but first we want to get some background on you. So give us a little bit of background about, you know, where you grew up, kind of what you were into growing up, all the pre-college stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've always born and raised in Toledo, Sylvania. Went to elementary at Maplewood or Highland, and Maplewood got redistricted. So met a lot of friends over there to start with, and they came over, and then went to McCord and then Northview.
Yes.
After that. And
let's go. You.
Yep. And then, you know, had a lot of good friends that I met and played sports, lacrosse and soccer. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And was definitely a little bit more of a nerd and got into like video games and stuff like that at like a young age, and was really into it. And then, you know, that kind of took me into college a little bit too. So, yeah.
Yeah. And we want to get into college. Tell us where you went and what your degree was.
Yeah. So I went to Robert Morris University in downtown Chicago, and I studied networking and computer studies and science, and then a little bit on cybersecurity too. So I got a full background of like everything.
Yeah.
So basically a lot of it was just like setting up a network for your companies to be able to run their IT. So like setting up servers, mm-hmm. putting together like WLANs, VPNs, just all these different like networks, virtual private networks, all these different things that we did on a day-to-day basis to set up and make sure that we had internet. So that was cool and that was fun. I played lacrosse for a couple of years there at Robert Morris too. And then I switched over to esports actually. So
yeah,
scholarship.
Was there anything specific that drew you to Chicago?
Not really, because I looked and I had a scholarship to play lacrosse. So that was like the main reason that I went to Chicago.
Yeah.
And I had some like close family friends there. So I had like an internship already like lined up ahead of time and everything into my degree. So it worked out.
And then we've had a lot of people on the podcast who have gone either to our local universities, UT or BG, or have just gone in state. So tell us a little bit about like a move like that as a young person going to a completely different city than what our city is like.
Yeah, it was a big change because Toledo's been home forever. And to see like a big city where you're just like a small fish in the pond, it feels like truly. Not knowing where to go at all times, and then like getting on public transportation was just like crazy to me too.
Yeah.
So it was like very unique, and I lived at, it was called the University Center, mm-hmm. and there were four colleges in there. There was Roosevelt University, there was Columbia University, Robert Morris University, and I'm blanking on the third, or on the fourth one, but basically it was kind of cool because everyone had their own floors. We all like ate together, so you get to see other like college kids, and it was almost like, my college was in a huge university, but I had so many other college kids around me and young professionals, so it was crazy.
Wow, look at you starting your networking early.
Yeah, we love to see it.
And so then you obviously returned back to the Toledo area. Tell us kind of your decision-making in, you finished with your degree and then you decide to come back to Toledo. Why is that?
Yeah, so family was like my biggest thing, and I just had family here, and it just nowhere felt good like Toledo and home to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back, I thought I was going to do IT. Like I went and applied for jobs and I just wasn't happy with where I was going to start out at, some of like what I was going to do every day. And I was like, I'm too personable to just sit behind a computer and kind of do this network stuff.
Yeah.
So it kind of like turned me into real estate. And then I had an internship that I did with Rami Edy in town, and he taught me a lot. And then that kind of led into where I'm at today.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that and what your role is now with Signature Associates.
Yeah, so I'm a principal there, and I help transact commercial real estate in the area. Businesses expand, grow, right size. Leasing, we help with too. Sales, acquisition. We kind of do a little bit of everything. And my role there is just to help other professionals around the area and businesses grow and whatever they need to do, you know, help them.
Do you find that there were a lot of, if any, transferable skills from your degree and your work in kind of that IT sector that you can take with you into this job?
Yeah, definitely. I think that there's a lot of it like on the back end. And I'd say there's a lot of harm, more harm than good, even in the IT world. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of easy to fall down that path, I'd say.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that drew me really into, I guess, the real estate side, like how I could bridge that gap. And yes, it has worked to its advantage. I mean, I pay for ChatGPT premium and like XAI. Like I literally use Grok and ChatGPT all the time to just help me do my job. And you'd be surprised just the professionals and people who don't know how to use it. And they're like light years behind, I'd say, just in this job because it's changing. Yeah, more digitalized.
Well, and that's a really interesting part of the conversation. And we want to kind of circle back to AI a little bit later. But I think we need the breakdown of like real estate for dummies because, and I know for me personally, I definitely hear a lot of the terminology you're using and I'm familiar with it, but don't know exactly what it means. So can you give us kind of like a, you know, day by day walk through a little bit of a breakdown on the commercial side or things like that that you work on in your job?
Yeah. So just like a day-to-day operation. I mean, it ranges, it varies. I mean, we have the people who come in who need a small, like, for instance, a woman just moved back from California. She's a world-renowned like dog groomer and pet groomer. So she needed space in Toledo somewhere for herself to set up shop. Something small, and we have a landlord that we have these like little 800, 600 square foot units. We've been working on it, and she came to us, and it needs a lot of build out because it's an older looking like office for someone. It needs a lot of build out. I mean, I'd say about $20,000 worth, or $15,000 to $20,000, which is like a lot of money for such a small space, but it's her business, it's her livelihood, and she's going to stay here for a long time. So we helped to negotiate a lease. For her, another realtor, real estate company in town brought them and we represented the landlord. So we came to a fair agreement and she's going to come in and, you know, start operating her business. I just turned over the key yesterday. Yeah. Really exciting.
Yeah. And then I'm curious what kind of drew you into the like commercial and industrial side of real estate as opposed to residential or
yeah,
a different area.
So commercial and industrial, that side. My family was in kind of an industrial business in town. So I've always had like that kind of knowledge. And like in the back of my mind, I've always thought about industrial, like how we get like furniture that we're sitting by and everything, like where it comes from. That's the manufacturing sector. So that's really drove me into it. And I think that like besides family, I mean, just some of my colleagues and coworkers have really like taught me a lot about that sector too. And Toledo's like very well known for, you know, industrial square footage, and we have a lot under roof and it's cheap because we're in the Midwest and we have a great corridor, 75 80 90, a lot of good places that we can get to close by.
Yeah,
so
it is kind of a gem of an area because it has that city feel without being, you know, in the thick of the expenses of a normal city or things right. like that. It's absolutely definitely nice in that way.
That drove me back to Toledo too, was freeing that up. Like the cost of like living in Chicago versus Toledo, like my mortgage is what my rent was there. And
absolutely.
It was like what you get is just so much more. It's crazy.
I know. It's wild how they can nickel and dime you in some of those properties out there. But tell us too, you know, obviously getting started in this industry was different than you were initially expecting. What were some of the initial challenges that you feel like you faced with this career path?
Yeah, so the first day I got licensed and started at Signature Associates was January 1, 2020. And I don't know if anyone remembers what's going on then, you know, that little bug that's going around and
a global pandemic. Yeah. I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, so it was like, I couldn't go and network or do anything with anyone. And I felt like it was hard to like start my job and like try to get something done. And I remember putting in a small little lease, like 1200 square feet as my first like deal that I did during COVID, and no one's meeting, everyone's meeting with masks on. It's so hard to like get that interaction with someone. And that was a big challenge. But then I started like going through software and cold calling like individuals. And a lot of these owners, private owners around here, were like older individuals. So like they wanted to talk. Like people wanted, like everyone's cooped up at this point.
Yeah.
No one's doing much. So it's like it felt really good. And I felt like it helped me socialize with people more and really get my name out there. So
yeah. Being able to do that while in the challenge probably made it a lot easier now that we're kind of on the other side.
So. Absolutely. Because it's hard for me to sit down now at that point. And like now that I'm like 6 years into this job, it's like, okay, I can't sit behind the computer, I feel like, and dedicate that time to do it as much as I was able to then. Like now it's more hands on in the field, like driving the market, really engaged in it differently.
And I was going to ask too, like how... that's interesting that you brought it up, how you find your potential like clients and who you're working with, if they were coming to you or if you're seeking them out, which it sounds like you are.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, some of that's like trademark secret, like, right? Like yeah. Each realtor is different. Yeah. I know, but no, like serious talk, like if you're good at your job and you care about your clients, they're gonna, you know, they want to come back to you and give you service and like the time of day and respect to like use you again. So like we have a couple of clients in town that, you know, during COVID, they had some vacancy. No one was really like working on their portfolio too well. And we brought them a ton of just like clients out of nowhere. Like during right after COVID, it's just like all these companies started to want to like either get back in the office or downsize from their bigger locations. So we did a ton of leases. And a lot of them are like, we send out like mailing flyers to like our next door neighbors of some of the property addresses. Because you'd be surprised how often like within that like business park,
yeah,
there's like someone who needs space, either growing, downsizing, whatever it is. And, you know, that's a good way to find clients. We use a lot of online databases, like, you know, getting phone numbers and calling executives from like, you know, Costco, Kroger, if there's like developments or things that you think would be great, a Whole Foods, a Trader Joe's, you know,
yeah,
some of these things that we would love to see in Toledo. I mean, it takes the pitch. And I think that's part of, you know, our job.
Sure. Well, and I mean, you guys do a really great job of getting your name out in the community, because like I said, as someone who's not at all in the realtor space or the industrial commercial real estate business, I always see Signature Associate signs all over town on all sorts of different kinds of buildings. And it's really cool to see that you guys are so embedded in the city. And I'm wondering too, I know you take on clients by yourself. Do you do solo work only, or do you do collaborative leases with other people with your company? How does that work?
Yeah, so there's other agents at our company. I'd say about 12 total, 10 that are about practicing. And I'd say that we all work as a team pretty closely. I mean, we have our sales meeting every couple of weeks that we get together, talk about what's going on in business, new deals coming up. But depending on like the listing, I will bring in different coworkers, colleagues into it to work on it. If it's something, one of their previous relationships, or if they know the property, or if it's something like, you know, the time that I can throw into it. I mean, two heads are better than one sometimes on a project, and being able to answer to an owner.
Yeah.
You know, if one of us are traveling or one of us are too busy with another assignment, it's easy to get to the other person. So
for sure.
I do work in it. I like the team environment more personally.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
And then hearing you talk about, you know, coming back to Toledo and working with all these businesses to help them succeed, talk to us a little bit about what that means to you to see that business development in the region, and a little bit about what you're doing to help these buyers succeed.
Yeah, it's crazy because I look at these big cities that, you know, I visited and I was able to live in. And, you know, we want all these awesome concepts back here in Toledo for more things to do. And it's like, every time there's a new company that comes into town or a new like business opportunity or something, I feel like so satisfied and feel so great that there's jobs available for other people just to like, if you don't love what you're doing, go find and do what you love. And it's like, hopefully there's enough jobs out there. And it's hard, you know, it's hard to say that to someone, but if you have enough passion about something, you know, then you're going to find a way to love it and hopefully succeed with it. And that's the thing that, for me, like seeing other people succeed in these like welding positions that we're able to bring, or, you know, working with a big company out of Canada right now to hopefully bring another 40 employees to a town that only has like 1,000 people in it. So, wow. You know, in Northwest Ohio, it's cool to see some of these communities really thrive from it, and their school districts and everything that's around here, it really helps them. So
yeah.
It's cool to see.
That's incredible. And then do you have any kind of specific story? I know, obviously, client confidentiality and all of that, but do you have any specific stories that were really impactful for you with your career that you really saw the impact on our community?
Any deals like the impact on our community? Well, we were involved in the first Amazon deal that came here. Our company was, and I was just coming into the business at that time, I'll say. So that was like, for me, it was like Amazon, like, this is awesome to see a huge company come into town, you know, tons of jobs, something that I think most of us use nowadays, one way or another. And, you know, it's awesome to support local too. And I think that that's one of the things that they've been able to do. And like, we've been involved and seen them do programs with the local community as well. But, you know, I think that's one of the big things that came to town that was like a, you know, that Signature was involved in. There's been some other ones too around the area. We actually did both Amazon deals, one out in Perrysburg and then the South Southwick Mall. But I'm trying to think if there's a couple other ones. I mean, there's been some life-changing ones to give you like an experience of, you know, we sold this very unique building for a guy, and again, it's client confidentiality, like you said, so a little bit broad on it, but
it's okay.
You know, we were going into the closing room, and you know, there was an IRS agent that was sitting outside of the closing because they wanted their, you know, money, because the guy had owed a bunch of money. And it just was crazy to see someone's life just like, you know, be changed completely with businesses that got pulled from, you know, a big, like a big national company, and this guy was just a small local business and had a job and a contract to do this, you know, for this big company. It was just very sad to see it all go down, but it, you know, to have peace of mind to be able to sell that property for him, for him to be, you know, able to go out clean and be happy and be able to retire and stuff, you know, that that meant something to me too. So just some impactful things, just different, you know, the one side to the other. There's highs and lows, obviously. So
You get to see it all.
And that's actually interesting. I do want to ask too, like, do you have to have a specific kind of, for lack of a better term, bedside manner? You know, like, we talk about that a lot in the medical field, I think, but you're, when you're dealing with things like that, you're changing people's lives with some of these properties. Mm-hmm. So do you, I mean, find that you're dealing with some of the more emotional conversations in a particular way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's ethics to our business that we follow and everything, and that's a big thing. But, you know, how we handle it is just like by case by case basis. Like each person's different. So you really have to figure out your client first and like find their interests. And, you know, I found out a way to get interested in like all my clients' businesses, it seems like, truly. And it's just interesting to learn.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We hear a lot about real estate as investment opportunities. And so I'm curious if you have any tips for new investors or just any insights, honestly, you can give our listeners.
Yeah. So if you're getting into investments, it's really a unique one because in Midwest, we see a lot of coastal investors starting to come in and spend the money. Because it's driving up prices, one, and two, it's better returns than they're getting on the coastal states. So, you know, I know I'm going to speak a little bit of gibberish here again, and I'll explain it in a sec. So, like a cap rate basis, you look at it, which is basically you look at it from a net operating income. So, you know, breaking it down, your total loss, like your total, your loss versus your profit on the property, you know, and your expenses, whether it's snowplow, trash, utilities. You know, there's all these things that go into it, like, I guess, this condo association or apartment, we can talk about it, you know, your rent, everyone's rent and what they do for the snowplow and salting, hopefully. And then if there's like maintenance, and then you may pay into like a marketing fee or something like that. So there's all these expenses that come out. But what's your rate of return? And that breaks down the cap rate, which most of the times you see an investment property around here, like if it's a retail property, would be at like a 5 or 6% cap rate, compared to an industrial property, you might see at 7 or 8%, because just the credit worthiness of the tenant, whether it's like a Wendy's or an Arby's, Chick-fil-A, compared to, you know, a local company, someone who's doing like a sale leaseback, which is where they're selling their property, hoping to lease it for a period of time and recoup a bunch of cash right up front to invest into their company, you know, for manufacturing, for whatever it might be. So there's a lot of ways to look at it, but I'm sorry, that was a long-winded.
No, that's right. Yeah.
So any specific tips to newbies?
Yeah, more tips to get in is just networking really with the right professionals. And like, if you're handy on your own properties, just the cost to do anything right now is so expensive. So if you're willing to paint, if you're willing to learn plumbing, if you're willing to learn a little bit of electrical, you know, just to change light switches or little things like that. Obviously, everything has to be up to code and under permit. But, you know, if you can learn how to take care of your properties or if you're a hands-on person, that really helps with it investing. Talking to banks and lenders, that's a big relationship game here, because you want, like, if you're focused on real estate, hopefully you're going to focus on healthy debt, which, you know, if you have a good credit score and you're able to leverage, you know, your relationship with the bank and putting down 25 to 30% on a property, you know, if you can make the spread of a couple percent a year, people like the tax advantage to it, and able to take a lot of different advantages to it aside from just getting some income and diverse versus, you know, the stock market and so forth.
Great. No, great insight, because I know I do not have that. So
it's challenging to learn, but once you learn it and really focus on it, I feel like it's like a day-to-day job now, and you get addicted to it. Like, I see all these people who get out of different types of like jobs in the sports industry and like different sales industry, and they're like real estate, like they're very passionate about it, and then they just get driven into it, and then you just kind of learn as you go. It's a hard one to like talk about a ton, because you learn as you go, truly.
Yeah, definitely. I totally get that.
Yeah.
So in our last episode, we talked a little bit about Riley's involvement with Epic Toledo's mentorship program and getting that started back up. And I know you're also involved with Epic, and I will come back to that. But just about how mentorship in general can be a really key piece of professional development. If you've had any experience with mentors, either in your field or outside, and how you think that's helped shape you in your career.
Yeah, big time. And I mean, I have a couple of mentors that really helped me in this business and shaped me. The main one being Rami Edy, who, again, a local guy, has done a lot for the community, has a great portfolio of shopping centers that has only grown since when I was able to intern with him. And I started there, and actually I was very fortunate that he let me shadow him for, I'd say, about a year's time, and it was completely unpaid, and it was something that I wanted to learn and he wanted to teach me, and we just had that relationship that fortunately my family had known him before, and I was able to just, you know, go under his wing and just learn, and learn why he liked certain shopping centers or why go after certain tenants. And I was able to quiz him and help with the internet side too, start to digitalize and use my background on it. So it like really was like, okay, I can do this. And then that's when I started to meet Ken Marciniak and his daughter, actually Rachel Marciniak, who owns Bassett Nut, and Rachel Matthews Popcorn. So he helped me get into the industry, and he helped me meet Signature. And then when I came in again, that was during COVID time. So it was really like, who's going to teach me a different field? Because Rami focused on retail, and now I want to get into the industrial, to the commercial, to the multifamily, to the a little bit of everything. And fortunately, Rob Keelahan and Keenan Fields in my office like took me under a wing, and Sam Zindorf too, who's now retired. But they were like great help, and they were like night and day difference each person, because I would get a story from Sam, who's in his 60s, and something from Keenan, who's now in his 60s, but he was in his 50s when we were doing this. And then Rob, who's, you know, in his 40s. So like I had a whole piece of like 10 different knowledge and what they've learned over the years. And I felt like it really helped me get into this business, focus on where I wanted to go after, and then focus on how your time's spent. So they were all great to me. And then also just my dad was very entrepreneurial growing up, so he's been a big part to me and a big, you know, person that I look up to and hope that I can achieve all that he has one day. So
I love that. That's so sweet.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I love that you have such a wide network of people who are in your corner and are rooting for you to succeed. And, you know, there are a lot of people who are trying to seek out that type of mentorship, or like you said earlier, the importance of networking in specific industries. Do you have any particular tips for young professionals who are trying to seek out that mentorship?
Yeah, I'd say find what you're passionate about first. And, you know, it's hard to say that at the age of like 18, 19, 20, 21 even. I mean, going into it, it's like, what do you want to do the rest of your life? And I think finding that passion first, and then once you do it, it's just like you know, talk to your parents. Like, I would say one of my biggest things for like how I started networking, and another realtor taught me this out of Michigan, actually. He said, build a spider web off of your mom and dad and say, like, who do you know in the real estate industry? And, you know, start to do two or three names off of it. Then go talk to that person and then go like two or three names down from there. So like it was a way to network and it was a creative way to do it, and then draw it into this, like, still have the, you know, this piece of paper. And I think it's silly to look at, but it's like basically 100 names that I was able to talk to people when I first got in the business. And everyone like was so nice. At the end of the call, I'd always say, who do you recommend I talk to next about this?
Yeah.
So that was a cool way to get into it. So I think other people might be able to relate that to their field.
Yeah, that's kind of like you could do that from the comfort of your own home, which is sometimes I think what's daunting about networking is being in the social space.
Yeah, and you can do it from a phone call too. And that was exactly during COVID. That's how I did it.
Right.
You know, and it's crazy, but now it's drawn me out and I like to be out at the Epic events and everything else. So it's been a great way to.
Funny you mention Epic, because my next question is to tell me a little bit about your involvement with the Epic Toledo Advisory Board. And obviously I know, but give our listeners a little bit of context and why you decided to join the board.
Yeah, so I think just a some of the people inside there who I was able to meet and talk to, and knowing that they were like all for Toledo and, you know, the growth of this community, young professionals here, I think that that's something I can get behind and I could always get behind, because it's something that we are the future and we're in it now, and we want to shape how that looks for everyone else around here, hopefully. And we have almost 20 other, you know, advisory team members that are able to pitch in, and then we all come up with like a good idea and like things change. And, you know, I give kudos to you to be able to run it and operate it. And, you know, all of our events so far have been really fun and have been planned well. And I think that just it draws out different crowds for each, because I know I've been to them and I've just seen some of the same team members, but it's just like the other people's interests falls within like, you know, the imagination station. It's an imagination station. So.
Well, and we talk a lot about the events and the programming part of Epic, but I think what's really cool, and you kind of touched on it, is that we sit and have these discussions about what our young professional community needs, what's plaguing the community, what is going well, how we can help. Is there something in particular, like a goal or an initiative that you have in mind that you really are passionate about with our young people in Toledo?
Yeah. And, you know, one of them is just getting a lot more young professionals and young individuals downtown, because I feel like that's like the heart of the city and where it's growing. And I am so passionate about a lot of projects going on down there, from the Warehouse District uptown to Vistula neighborhood, which is just, that's one I have a lot of passion towards. And just seeing a lot of these buildings, walking in them and seeing what they look like now and where they're at, you know, where they were 5 years ago, where they're at now, where they're going to be in 5 years and 10 years. It's crazy to see. So it's just, I'm really excited. And hopefully that we can see more young professionals move downtown, a lot more people walking around and local businesses starting up and hiring these young professionals too.
Well, and I'm sure it's really cool for you growing up here, seeing the real estate development in real time. I mean, you, since you were a kid, have lived here, you've watched all of this change over the years. So you have a unique perspective versus some of these other realtors, either residential, commercial, whatever it may be, who come into Toledo to work. You've been here and have seen it change. So I think that's a really unique point of the landscape. So not only professionally, but with young professionals as well outside of your work life. I think that's really awesome.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Are you a member of any other boards?
Yeah, so the Commercial Board of Realtors, we are on two. And I also, let's see, so other than Epic, those are the two. And Commercial Board of Realtors has like a ethics standard to it. It's more of just, you know, it's something that's helpful. Yes, it's good for our name too, but it's also extra training that we do each year, a certain amount of hours that we have to do to qualify and stay on the board. So
it's like more of a requirement.
Yeah, absolutely. Our office, like everyone, we require to be a Commercial Board of Realtors. So it does take a little bit more time and, you know, continuing education classes, but that's good for our professional, and it never hurts to be taught more and reminder of, you know, how ethics are taught and what they are.
Yeah, for sure. It's a great reminder for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
And we want to ask, too, you've dropped a lot of really cool pieces of advice throughout this whole episode, but Tell us if you have one particular piece of advice for our young professional listeners.
Going back to this, and I know I've said it so many times, but passion and consistency is really key in, I think, everyday life. And I know it gets into a pattern of where it feels repetitive and we all feel stuck sometimes in our life of what we're doing, but just drive through it and know that hopefully the grass is greener on the other side if you can train your mind to think like that. I know it's not easy for all of us, but you know, there's a lot of things that bring us down in today's world, and I think in general, and we just need to stay on the positive side of it and be, you know, more of a optimist than a pessimist.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And you didn't think we'd leave without a Roman Empire.
No, I...
All right, well, I think today we should have Libby kick us off.
Okay, I'm coming out of the box for this one, but I saw a TikTok, and unfortunately, I just can't stop thinking about it. It has a picture of Will Ferrell, and the caption reads, "Will Ferrell is like if a sour cream and onion chip made a wish to become human." And it has so many likes and so many comments of people agreeing. And like, as soon as I read that, that's exactly how I felt. And why do we all feel that way?
An onion chip.
He made a wish to become human. And now he is.
Dude, I love Will Ferrell.
He's
cute to me.
And it's like Christmas time. It's all season.
Do you think sour cream and onion chips are cute? Because he's cute to me.
Yeah, he's just a cutie little chip.
He's just a little chip.
But so many people agreed. Why is that like a universal experience?
Yeah, we've just never had a unique thought. Like, that's really crazy, and I love it so bad. All right, Zach, do you want to hit us with your Roman Empire?
Roman Empire, what I'm thinking right now.
Yes, thank you for the recap for all of our listeners.
Yeah, so basically, I was thinking, I mean, our conversation is when my daughter's birthday is in a week, and we are trying to figure out if we're going to cater food or if we're cooking food. And now, like, it's been in my head, like, all day, what are we going to do if we cook? Like, what are we going to cook? And then, like, we want to get two-year pictures. And then I asked photographers, and now we're, like, scrambling last minute. So it's, like, a last-minute thing that we want to get done, and I'm just can't stop thinking about it. But
yeah.
No, I love that.
Such a special birthday.
Okay, wait. Tell me both options. If you cook, what would you want to cook? And if you cater, what would you
cater? I hope it's all sour cream and onion chips.
Yeah. She loves chips, definitely. But, you know, kid friendly. I mean, mac and cheese is just right now is like for her is everything. But like,
me too.
I'm talking about like some local caterers like Shireen Rod, if you don't know her, Shireen Croak, sorry, now. And like Adam Street Cafe, like some of those places, John does a really good job there too. So it's like you get little slider sandwiches, something like that, like for everyone. So we're just thinking out loud of like everything right now. And it's like, well, if we cater that, if we cook, we're going to do like, you know, she likes eggs. So maybe like a little bit of double eggs, mac and cheese, maybe like, you know, chicken tender, something like easy that she eats and little things like that. So,
well, wait, and I have to ask too, like, does she have any little friends that are coming or is it mostly just you and your wife's friends?
So, yeah, our first birthday, we like did an extravagant one for her and like invited a lot of people and did a full thing. And now for the second one, we're keeping it quaint and like just close with our family. So, yeah,
just love that. That's,
it'll be nice.
It's really nice.
It's really sweet.
Okay, unfortunately, it's my turn. So I have been thinking about nothing but Stranger Things. And before you guys fret, I will not be spoiling anything. I will not be spoiling anything. This is my spoiler-free Roman Empire. Stranger Things season 5, I watched the first drop. I'm anxiously awaiting the second drop and then the finale. But more than anything else, I cannot stop thinking about Will Byers and Mike Wheeler and how they need to kiss. And here's my thing. The Duffers have like a really key opportunity to make what would be the greatest queer love story of all time. Like they really have the opportunity to do it. All the puzzle pieces are there. The evidence is evidencing. If you don't believe me, I swear, like, the people on TikTok are so insane about this theory. Like, go on TikTok, go on a rabbit hole, read all the theories, because I will not bore you with them here. But what I will tell you is there are a couple of instances where it is very clear to the viewer that they are digging on each other. it is now canon that Will has a crush on Mike. That's not a spoiler. We've been new, okay? That he has a crush on Mike. We know. But what is not yet canon is that Mike also has a crush on Will. But it might as well be canon because they are so flirty with each other. Mike is so possessive and protective over Will the way that he would be over a girlfriend. He's more protective over Will than he is over his actual girlfriend in the show, Eleven. And they are pretty primed for a decent little split because they didn't really technically get back together after season four. See, I'm on my soapbox now. Anyway, what I'm saying is there's no reason that Mike Wheeler needed to look at Will Byers and say, "We're friends," and then repeat himself and say, "We're friends." Who are you trying to convince?
Right.
Who are you trying to convince?
Yeah.
Him or you? I think you, because I think you're a little bit in denial about the fact that you're in love with your best friend, Will Byers. So this ship is called Byler, and really easy way to look it up on TikTok and read all the theories, and I highly encourage it, would be hashtag B-Y-L-E-R, hashtag Byler. Thank you. Please do this. I also would like to shout out a previous guest on our podcast, Katie Hoffman, who did put me onto this theory a couple years back. She's like an original Byler shipper. And you know what? If we get to the end of this show and they end up together, I will be celebrating with any of you Byler fans who want to get together and just cheer from the rooftops about how the Duffer Brothers wrote the best story ever. That is it.
Thank you
for listening to Empire Roman Empire. And thank you, Zach, for coming on our show today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you both for having me.
We want to thank Zach Lieber, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Lydian Riley, and our executive producer is the incredible Chris Piper.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.